Before listening to the teachings, Rinpoche asks that we give rise to the precious attitude of bodhicitta, which means that we aim to attain the complete state of perfect enlightenment, which is the perfection of wisdom and compassion for the benefit of all sentient beings who are as limitless in number as space is vast in its extent. In order to do this, we know that we must listen to, reflect on, and meditate on the teachings of the genuine Dharma with all of the enthusiasm we can muster in our hearts. This is the precious attitude of bodhicitta. Please give rise to it and listen.
Korva jundere, gokpa denpa tang, lanja denpa tang, gokpa denpa ni tarpa jundere, konde ji jundere tsovara sumpara.
Lhasa. In the first turning of the wheel of the Dharma by our teacher, the Buddha taught the four noble truths. The truth of suffering and the truth of the origin of suffering teach about cause and result in the cycle of existence, samsara. And the third and the fourth noble truths, the truth of cessation and the truth of the path, teach about cause and result with regard to liberation from this cycle of existence.
Jewa ngab se tang le jom de khe lang de jeba sumpare de zo nan zo dan sumpare.
The way that the Buddha gave these teachings or his approach was to emphasize, to assert the existence of past and future lives and also of karma, cause, and result. And therefore, this set of teachings by the Buddha was one that was in harmony with the way that things appear. In the second turning of the wheel of Dharma, the middle turning, the Buddha taught what is called the turning of the absence of characteristics, the turning that teaches how there is no self-nature inherent in things.
In
this turning of the wheel, the Buddha taught that the things that appear to us are merely superficial appearances. And in that way, they resemble dream appearances, the appearances of the moon's reflection on a pool of water. They resemble movies and rainbows. They are just mere appearances that appear due to the coming together of causes and conditions. Their actual nature is that they lack any existence at all.
Dene son so te yang tapa rangin ke maro par sungpa sena tan ta ta denbar khenpe topan go pare. Kunzup do mlan jama chota tapa sungpa sena ke yang mai pa yang mai pa khen tan.
And the way the Buddha explained these things by teaching that things actually do not exist, he refuted the extreme of realism, of believing that things are real, that they are true. And at the same time, by saying that things have an existence in the sense that they appear, there are these conventional superficial appearances, the Buddha refuted the extreme of nihilism, the extreme of believing that there is absolutely nothing.
Dene chungkur sumpa kapso semje namje, semje ngoham, semje nelogam, semje rangin te rangin je o sarwa ngo la trama mapa re den rawo rangin je o sarche ngo la trama mapa te la devari khekpa sanje jinyung butani tenle sumpa.
In the third turning of the wheel of Dharma, the Buddha taught about the nature of all sentient beings, which is radiance, radiant clarity, and luminosity. This is the fundamental nature of all beings. It is their essence. It is the basic way that they are. And this he gave the name Buddha nature.
Deyan sung sur pe goni sung bari. Pe na oma lammar yue pe jumsin je oma truwa na tarwa jang na tene ma drop tupa tang. Se do to ngor do la se ta ngor yue pe jumsin je do yi nyingma jang na se ta ma drop tupa la sopa pe goni sung bari. Sem je do do na sem je trama jang na sem je tapa ngon do chon na te san je je kumpa drop tupa sung bari.
The Buddha gave these teachings very often by means of example. And so he used the example of butter that is inherent in milk, the example of gold and silver that are inherent in gold ore and silver ore. And so if one refines, if one churns the milk, then one will definitely get the butter that's completely present there all the time. And similarly, if one refines the silver and gold ore, then the impurities will disappear and what will be left are the pure precious substances. And similarly, if one cleanses the mind of its temporary stains, then its basic nature, which is enlightenment, awakening, will shine forth.
Dene da sanje jinyimbo yobu jumsen je sanje drop thamna sanje rang de kante chelo ngodzen sikese no. Seba nyingji chenpo tang shiram thar senpala, dene da sanje shukre.
And the end result of this process of cleansing the mind, which is enlightenment or Buddhahood, how can we recognize it? What are its defining qualities? Well, it is... Its defining qualities are the perfection, the complete perfection of loving kindness, compassion, and wisdom. So if one has brought those qualities to their perfection, then that person is Buddha.
Dinin kolo parpa kala yom jeba dungbo dupa so mangdo yeba nangni dinin kai gongpan dreva la tsobar churpa chodo churpa sanje rangka long tempa te Gombo Ludub Re, Gombo Ludub Je, Oma Saba Shirab La Sobe, Oma Rikto O, Nam Sutene Sabar Shia Sumbare.
With regard to the second turning of the wheel, the teachings of the Buddha are found in what are called the greater, middle-sized, and short versions of the Mother Sutras. Sutras are given that name, the Mother. And the greatest commentator on the intention of the Buddha in these sutras was the one whom the Buddha prophesied himself would come and give the commentaries on his teachings, and that was the great master Nagarjuna, who composed his seminal text was called The Fundamental Wisdom of the Middle Way, and his texts that are commentaries on this particular set of teachings are called the Five Collections of Reasonings. The way that Nagarjuna explained the nature of things in this text, The Fundamental Wisdom of the Middle Way, is in harmony with the way that Rinpoche has offered an explanation in the few minutes prior to this. He explained that conventional appearances, relative appearances, are just mere appearances that arise due to the coming together of causes and conditions. They are like water moons, they are like dreams, and their actual reality is that they do not truly exist. There were commentaries composed on Nagarjuna's text, The Fundamental Wisdom of the Middle Way, and there were different commentaries coming from different points of view, and these differences gave rise to there being two different sub-schools following this type of philosophy. One is called the autonomy school, Svatantrika, and the other is called consequence school, Prasangika. And the greatest commentary in the tradition of the consequence school, the Prasangika, was composed by the master Chandrakirti. It is called The Entrance into the Middle Way, Madhyamika Avatara. And this is what Rinpoche will explain to us beginning tonight.
Dela tenje ton jorje sa yong ton jog ton dan na ba yere.
The traditional Tibetan way of commenting on a text is to make an outline. And so Rinpoche says we will see how much, sometimes the outline gets quite detailed, so we'll try to make it, we'll try to express what the outline is without getting lost in the details of it. The main outline of this text has four parts. The first is an explanation of the name of the text. The second is the prostration offered by the homage offered by the translator. The third is the explanation of the text itself. And finally comes the explanation of the colophon, the conclusion, which follows the main body of the text.
Sinje tonla tambo jagar je ke don sinje ton jagar ke do madma ka avatara bhoj ke do jon omal jo bachi sa ye sabate
aso. So beginning with the name of the text, in the language of India, it is called Madhyamika Avatara, and in the language of Tibet, it is called Umalajupa, and in the language of England, it is called The Entrance into the Middle Way.
There Oma Tela Joza Tonja Oma Chu Tante Genelo Tripan Tata Travel Chu Yen Tang Josie Tsiko Oma De Joza Tonja Oma Teni Sover Joba Teda Teni Josie Tsiko Oma De Teda Joza Tonbe Yong Ni Nile Samala Samala Tela Katan Tenju Katan Tenju Nile Sama Oma Ye Tenju Oma Tenju Tava Kirabla Sabata Jacheva Nijigoni Sam Nidonju Long the Ludrubje Menga Nijigoni Jubaki Sate Tetan Tetu.
That's all.
Yeah.
Tetu. The commentary then discusses middle way. What does this mean? Well, there are two types of middle way. One is the middle way that is the subject, the actual reality which this text seeks to describe. And what that is actually is the Dharma Dhatu, or the expanse of genuine reality that is completely free from all conceptual elaborations. That is the nature of reality. And then there is the words, the middle way of the words, which is what this text is composed of, which teach or describe that which is to be discussed, which is this nature of genuine reality. So here, when it says entrance into the middle way, it's referring to the words, entering or engaging in the words which help us to understand the actual reality that is being described. And from these words, there are two types. There is the actual speech of the Buddha, and then there are the commentaries on that speech, the primary one of which is this text by Nagarjuna, The Fundamental Wisdom of the Middle Way, which is both profound and vast in its extent. And through reference to the particular teachings of the Buddha which teach the definitive meaning, through reference to key scriptural passages, and also by means of the pith instructions that Chandrakirti has received from Nagarjuna, he lays out this way of entering into this very profound and vast teaching of Nagarjuna himself. Also.
Sapa the judge even juxor nilis, sapin juxoram, samin juxola, Oma Sava Shirab Jutun, Oma Tanjo Daranju, Tumonwe Ye Yerichovaina, Yong de Namrang Mayimbe, Yong de Sijed Oma Jupe, Namrang Mayimbe Tundam Kailin Kundra Tardutun, Tumon Mayimbe Tanjo Jugumbara. Gongba tara trava yinjian. Yeah.
So we have these two aspects of this text, The Fundamental Wisdom of the Middle Way. The first is that it is incredibly profound. Well, what is this profundity talking about? It's talking about the actual meaning that is embodied in this text, and it is the meaning that forms the basis for both the autonomy school and the consequence school. And out of these two schools, what this text, The Entrance into the Middle Way, describes is the position of the consequence school, which means it is talking about the unenumerated nature of reality, or the inexpressible nature of reality, meaning that it is completely free of any type of assertion about what the nature of reality is. That is the consequence school's view, is that it's completely free of views. There's no view that can describe the nature of reality. And this is what this text by Chandrakirti will explain.
Jyatyeva Dini seba nyingi chenpo dunye tope kirab sanchuk je sem somla susi chivi chu somtang. Pakpa lopet sa jo, pakpa namche lopet sa ye rinpa jo tang. Tartok mlopet sa tang je ba kipe som.
And then there is the vast aspect, and what this describes are the three types of dharma that are practiced by ordinary individuals, first of all. So these three types are compassion and loving kindness, first of all, wisdom realizing emptiness, and third, bodhicitta, the awakening mind. Then the text describes the 10 bhumis or grounds, levels of the noble beings, the noble bodhisattvas on the path of learning. And finally, the ultimate ground or level, which is the path of no more learning, which is the stage of enlightenment.
Jambar yonur jorba la sa lo, ke sa lo songde. Paban jambar yang sa sa lo.
Lasa. And then the second part of the outline is the homage of the translator. And so this is simply, I prostrate to the youthful Manjushri.
Dekhe, nipa tsubre gam, chungje tsubre dan tarwen jambar dam. Randon the Yendon de Tony in Jorba Pardan Damba Jarba Yab to Georgian Jase Yonor Jorba Tela Gosom Kupe Tanda de Jacket ne Perke de Jorba de Jorba Lotava Ketin Jamba Yam Santa.
The commentary on this one line is an explanation of the name Manjushri. Foremost, and this name in Tibetan is Jampal. And so Jam means soft. So soft here refers to the fact that it is that Manjushri, or a representation of the true nature of reality, is free of all coarseness, free of all roughness of any type of flaw or any type of disadvantage or bad quality, so it is soft in that it is free of all flaws. And the second part of this name, Pal, means glorious, meaning that it is endowed with the glory of accomplishing the two benefits, the benefit of self and the benefit of other. Youthful refers to the fact that in actuality, Manjushri is like a father, is like a Buddha himself, but he appears as a youthful bodhisattva in a very fresh way. So in this way we get, and then finally there is the prostration at the end of the line, which is in Tibetan, which is customary for one who is translating from Sanskrit into Tibetan. And so I prostrate to the youthful Manjushri, the youthful, soft and glorious one. And then we move to the actual body of the text, and this also has three main parts. The first one is called the introductory branch, which is an homage by the author of the text, Chandrakirti, his own homage. Then next comes the actual body of the text. And finally, there is the conclusion after the main body of the text is completed, the concluding verses that Chandrakirti writes.
Tenju Tsomba Lenjubi Yinlan Chibar Jubatela
So first, which is Chandrakirti's own homage, has two parts. The first is a general description of the three causes of how one becomes a bodhisattva. And so this is praised. The bodhisattvas are praised. And particularly of all the causes of becoming a bodhisattva, compassion is praised.
Tela sansin je jo som che ten banne sawa nyintu sanje den nam thowan ki sanje sanchu samba len thong chin nying ji sem da ni so me lo ta sanchu sem ne ja se nam ji jo chi sa
bu. And the root verse of the first verse of this text reads, Shravakas and intermediate Buddhas arise from the mighty ones. Buddhas are born from the bodhisattvas. Compassionate mind, non-dual awareness, and bodhicitta are the causes of the bodhisattvas.
Deva yang da bichini yin le damga nyin tu jidake damga nyin jing yin le tubam yin le dropa tam drope nyin tu tam sunam da ye hi je cha nyin tu lem pakpa tam tokpa nyor jing Sanje le memba Rang Sanje de Sanje Dingbu Namne Gangle Sumare Sena Tupe Wangbu Song Le Jibadang Tupe Wangbu Zub Sanje Jomdin De Jidin Yidang Din Jong Sami Chu Songba La Din Ne Jibadang Sanje Ne Gangle Sumare Sanje Ne Lam Loba Sanjo Sambayi Ne Gap Ji Chibadang Yang Dagbar Zendun Jogba Le Song Jeng Simjin kun donga le chomdo je ningji semdang yueba da meba nije ta nisu meba ta nisu meba lo de hirabdang ta nilende be hirabdang Simjin ju tondo sanje ju komba dobar de be sanjok je semdang sumbo ne jarse sanjo semba nam je yoyin. Long
together. Then the commentary describes what this verse is explaining, which is about how the different types of realized beings come from the Buddha, and the Buddha come from the bodhisattvas, and then what are the causes of bodhisattvas. So the first two are these types of realized beings called the Shravakas, which mean hearers, literally. And the reason why they're given this name is that they listen to the instructions of an authentic spiritual teacher, and then they go and teach these instructions to others. So they're called the hearers because they focus on listening. And then come the intermediate Buddhas. Well, what does that mean? It means that from the perspective of the merit that they accumulate and from the perspective of their wisdom, they're greater than the hearers, but they're less than the actual Buddhas, the fully enlightened Buddhas. So they're in the middle. They're called the solitary Buddhas, actually. It's another name for them. And they're called the intermediate ones. And these two arise or are able to reach their level of realization because of the speech of the Buddha himself. So they arise or they are born from the Buddha, is what the text says. The Buddha is born from following the path of the bodhisattvas. And what are the causes of being a bodhisattva? The first one is compassion that wishes to protect all sentient beings from suffering. The second is mind which does not rest in either the extreme of existence or the extreme of non-existence. This is called wisdom, or prajna. And third is bodhicitta, the awakening mind. So these three are the causes of becoming a bodhisattva.
Tsikye dindo dona nyintu tarang sanje ni thuvang ke song ni chisor. Thuvang ka le sona thuvang sanjuk samba le chong sor. Ta sanjuk samba kan le song le sena sanjuk samba jo som tenpa.
In short, the meaning of this verse is to teach, well, where do the Shravakas and the solitary stages, these intermediate Buddhas, where do they come from? They come from the speech of the Buddha. Well, where does the Buddha come from? The Buddha comes from being a bodhisattva. And where does a bodhisattva come from? Bodhisattva comes from these three causes. And next is a praise in particular of all these causes of becoming a bodhisattva, praise of compassion. And so this praise has two parts. The first is a praise of compassion in general, and the second is a praise of the different types of compassion.
Sanje dan sanju sanban jambayan la sopa la sansawa yore dava trape de zo ninji chenpo la sansawa.
What makes this text unique is that most other commentaries begin with a praise of Manjushri, praise of the Buddhas, or some praise of some higher being like that. But Chandrakirti begins his text with a praise of compassion itself.
And
Chandrakirti's verse in praise of compassion reads, since I assert that loving kindness itself is the seed of the victor's abundant harvest, is like the water that causes it to flourish, and is like its ripening that allows it to be enjoyed over a long period of time. I therefore praise compassion at the very outset.
Deva kanga se seva ninji chenpo ni jarva loto phasom sokpan deye de cheva la tangbor kar cheva samu dan dakhen bardo kar cheva karcheva pravala chodan loydan dhati simjin tha mai patang chepa ngin seba tendu mzo so ji manyam patang thamar karcheva yunen do long chepa ne la lodo men pata ban do par chorba jinsin ti se padin da bicha Dabi Chab Dage, Tumar Seva Niji Chambula Tabardeva.
The commentary explains that here Chandrakirti is likening enlightenment to fruit, to an abundant harvest of the victorious ones. And at the very outset of planting what will become this great harvest, the seed is compassion. Compassion is that important to this process. It's the first thing that one has to have. And in the middle, so at the beginning it's important because it's like the seed. In the middle it's important because it is the water that continually moistens the crop and allows it to grow and flourish. And finally, at the end, it is like the ripening, but not only any kind of ripening that allows this fruit to be enjoyed over a long period of time, meaning here that it is not damaged in any way by the fact that it requires one to encompass all of the limitless number of sentient beings in one's compassion, and it's not damaged in any way by any reaction of others to one's compassion. Like if someone responds to your compassion with negative activity or a lack of gratefulness or anything like that, it's not hampered by any type of response that it might get. And so in this way, compassion allows the harvest to be enjoyed over a long period of time. And since Chandrakirti asserts that this is compassion's role in the process of one's attaining enlightenment, he first bows or pays homage, praises compassion at the very outset of the text.
Nyeba nyingi chenpo la sosol se ne teba la nyile tangpo semjin le mekbe nyile semjin le mekbe nyingi le teba chweta mingmingi nyingi le teba nyise tangpo sakula.
And then in the second part of Chandrakirti's praise of compassion, there is a praise of the different types of compassion. So there are three different types. The first one is praise of compassion that has sentient beings as its focus. The second is compassion that has dharma, literally, or we could say reality, as its focus. And the third is compassion that is non-referential compassion, that is without any type of dualistic focus. And the root verse that goes with the first type of compassion that has sentient beings as its focus reads, first saying me, one fixates on self. Then saying this is mine, attachment to things develops. Beings are powerless, like a rambling watermill. I bow to compassion that encompasses these wandering
beings. Dengyinje chakpa chipaye sochunchin da rawang meba sitene nar meba korwa ye roba la ningir jorka jorba gangye ba telan do do chiba.
And the commentary explains that what precedes the notion of possession of some of mine, this is mine, what precedes that, what has to precede it, is clinging to the idea that there is a self in the first place, that there is a me. And this mode of apprehension of the mind is called the thought that the self exists. So that's the first thing that happens. And then what follows that is the notion of mine. In other words, how one relates to entities, things that one perceives, like these are my eyes, and so forth. So one relates to things in a way that one clings to them as being real. And because an individual has these two types of notions, first that there is a self, and second that there are these things which exist in relation to the self, then one becomes completely powerless, like a bucket going in a water mill. And in this case, the mill is the cycle of existence, samsara, that goes from the very peak of existence, its highest point, down to the insufferable hell realm, the worst of all of the hell realms. And Chandrakirti prostrates or bows to the compassion which has as its focus sentient beings who have this type of problem. And then the commentary explains in detail this analogy of comparing sentient beings to a bucket in a well. So there are different ways that this analogy works and what it's trying to point out to us. The first one is that just like a bucket in a well is bound up by this rope. So the bucket can't leave the rope. There's no escape for it. And this rope is like the rope of our karma, meaning our previous actions, which will definitely ripen for us, and we have to face the result of our actions, and also our mental afflictions. So these two are like the rope that binds us in this cycle of existence. And the second is that there's someone at the top of this well spinning this bucket. That is like our consciousness. Our consciousness is what keeps turning the rope and keeps taking us from one place in the cycle of existence to another. Then the third aspect of it is that this well is very, very deep. It's vast. And that is how the cycle of existence is. There are so many different states in it, from the very peak of existence, the highest meditative state of absorption, down to the worst hell realm. There are so many different levels in between. from the highest to the lowest. Then comes the fact that it's much easier to go down than it is to go up. The bucket just naturally drops to the bottom, but if you want to go up, you have to crank it a lot, and it takes a lot of effort, and that's the same way that it is with the cycle of existence. Fifth is the fact that existence is divided into these 12 different links of dependent arising. There are the three, which are the kleshas, the mental afflictions out of these 12 links. They are ignorance, craving, and grasping. And then there are the two links which are called karma. They come under the classification of karma, and they are compositional action and existence. These are just the formal names of these 12 different links. And then there are the other seven. And the point of this is that out of all of these different links, you can never know which one came first. And it's just like with this bucket in the well. You know, like, where did the bucket start? You can't really say. Like, if you try to pinpoint the starting point of the cycle of existence, you can never say, well, like, this came first, because the bucket was somewhere else first before that, and it was somewhere before that. It's just a cycle continually spinning around. And in this commentary, it's compared to, like, spinning a torch. Like, if you take a torch and you spin it around, and you get this fire wheel, and you can't really tell where the wheel starts and where it stops. And finally, the water in this well is made dirty by the dirt that's at the bottom. When you pull up the water, then you get this soil that's at the bottom of it. And in a similar way, every day our existence is made muddy, is poisoned by the three types of suffering: the suffering of suffering, the suffering of change, and the all-pervasive suffering of the composite. And so in these six different ways, beings in existence are like a bucket in a water well.
Nyeba chula mekwe nyingye tang, mingme ji nyingye la tabane, broha yowa chui nanga dawa tar, yodan rang yin nyingye tongbar tongba yei ji samasong.
So that was the praise of compassion that had sentient beings as its focus. And then we come to the next two, which are grouped together in the first two lines of the fourth verse: praise of compassion that has reality as its focus, and the praise of compassion that is non-referential, that has no focus. And so the first two lines read, beings are like the moon on the surface of rippling water. They move and are empty of any self-nature.
Pela chula mekpe nyingye te rova namne pe na longa yove chunanga dawa tar kechik chammado par yove rangi chin yina yang dene takpari khenpe wangka donga naso nyongwe simchin la nyingye gombar.
The first type of, or the second type of compassion has as its focus the reality or the nature of sentient beings, which is that they are impermanent. So they are like, these beings are like, for example, the moon that's reflected on the surface of a pool of water that's constantly moving by, that's moved by wind. So this moon is always changing in its shape and appearance. It never stays the same, even for a single instant. However, we believe that things are fixed and have some type of continuity, some type of permanence to them, and as a result of that misbelief, that wrong belief, then we suffer. So this compassion focuses on beings taking things to be permanent when they're not.
Matopana Dembar Yemba Yendo Senchin nam rang yin je ma dhrupa tongpa yin na yang dine denpar khenpa wangka dunga na cho nyong wa senchin la nyin jipa.
And then the verse reads, they move and are empty of any self-nature. So this is the third type of compassion. Because this moon that's moving on the surface of the water, there is no moon there. There are no atoms there. There's no substance of any kind. It's empty of any inherent existence. And so are sentient beings. Sentient beings are empty of any inherent existence, and yet we think that we're real, we think that other people are real, and as a result of this ignorance, then we suffer. So this last type of compassion realizes the fundamental nature of sentient beings.
Yeah. Sacho sosori kheba tang, sa yuandien kheba nyin se. Dangbo la sa tangbo rabdo gawa so nga kheba tang, sa choba ngondo choba kheba tang, rendo sonwa so ye kheba wu. Dei zong e, sa che de gogo dwe.
Shira gogo nende.
Hoya. Dene ma lo kheba wa.
Laso.
Dangbo la sa tangbo rabdo gawa kheba, Nipa Trima Mepa Kheba, Sumpa Wu Sepa Kheba, Yipa Wu Trova Kheba, Ngapa Jankawa Kheba Tang, Nga, Tangbo La Sa Tangbo Ngu Kheba Tang, Levi Kap Dova Tang, Nyi, Tangbo La, Cheki Sae Ngu Wundo Tengba Tang, Chechu Sae Yuyentin Jebar Kheba, Se Yuyentin Kheba Go Ninyok Dova Tang, Songre, Ta Katsi, Sabche Katsi Go Tse Hasa.
So then we get into the section after the homage, that is the actual body of the text. And it's a pretty detailed outline now because it goes through all the stages, but basically there are two main stages. The first are the 10 bhumis or grounds, levels of progress of being a bodhisattva, and then comes the ultimate level, which is the level of enlightenment. So we start with the first there, and if we look at these 10 stages, then you have the 5 which precede what's called the stage where prajna paramita is perfected, that wisdom is perfected. And since that discusses emptiness, that's the biggest part of this text. So it's kind of set off on its own. So we have the 5 levels that come before that, then the 6th one, and then the ones that come after that, the 4 that come after that. And so we start with the first bhumi, which is called, it's each one has a name, and the name of the first level is completely joyous. And then the text goes on to explain the different qualities of this level, its basic qualities, and then also some different ways that it goes into specifics.
Maso? Namba drova sase nyingi wang jyotin. Koyanta zambu mumbe rangu gawala. Rabdo neba tena tangbo shisawo shisawo song.
That's right. And the general description of this bhumi where it gets the name from of being completely or perfectly joyous comes in the last two lines of the 4th and the first two lines of the 5th verse. They read, the victor's heirs, or the bodhisattvas, see this, referring to the nature of sentient beings that has just been described, how they're like a water moon and how ultimately they have no true existence at all. They see this, and in order to free beings completely, their minds come under the power of compassion, and perfectly dedicating their virtue with Samantabhadra's prayer, they perfectly abide in joy. This is the first bhumi.
Devam, jarva sepo sanjo samba, sa tangbo vandeye sem kange, sem de kandere senan rovanam, Rova nam rang yin me pan thong ne. Rova nam lam choda yin do rang yin me pan thong ne. Rang yin me na yang. Rang yin yue pa den par yin pa nam do le. Cheng wa le. Rova ra sa va ser do. Tse va nying je cheng bu. Yin wang do chor cheng. San cho san pa. San pa mun lam cheng po cho so. Mun lam bum tra. Rang me. Rang me ba cha jo sa tang bo wen de ba ne. San se san ju san ba koin to san bo mun lam je nang dun du pe. Zang bo ju pe mun lam. Du pe mun lam di ge wa na rab du ngui hen. Ni su na wa. Ni su na wa me pe ye ki. Sa tang bo rab du ga wa la. Rab du ne ba te ne jik tin len de pe. Sem tang bo ki sa wo ki song.
Di jangsem gi munnam chenbo chusok ditso kundzamba munnam
ko kundzamba munnam de khongsu dugres munnam bamtha bamtha jang mai ba chuso taba de ko kundzamba munnam de khongsu dugres.
And so this verse describes basically the mental state. What is the mental state of the bodhisattva who has reached this first ground? What's it like? Well, the first thing that it's like is that seeing that beings are of the nature of just being like water moons, being like dreams, that they have no inherent existence, and yet they suffer so incredibly because they are bound up, they are chained by taking things to be real. So seeing this dichotomy in the nature of how beings are and the way that they perceive things to be, they literally come under the power of compassion. That's what it says. Like the compassion overtakes them, overcomes them. And in order to free beings, in order to completely liberate them from their suffering that comes from this ignorance, then they dedicate all of their virtue perfectly through the recitation of this prayer that some might know as the aspiration prayer of excellent conduct, the prayer of Samantabhadra, which is said in the commentary to encompass the not only the 10 great aspiration prayers of bodhisattvas, but also the all of the great aspiration prayers of bodhisattvas, which are immeasurable in number. They form immeasurable hundreds of thousands of tens of millions of aspiration prayers. And they're all included in this one aspiration prayer of Samantabhadra. And the bodhisattvas on the first bhumi seal their virtue perfectly by reciting this aspiration prayer. And as a result of that, by dedicating their virtue in this way, as well as by having this primordial awareness, awareness of the true nature of reality that is free of any type of dualistic appearance, they perfectly abide in utter joy. And this is called the first ground that transcends the ordinary world.
Da nibala ranjo in zipper sepe yinti yinji joy sejin nebe yinti sa tangbo lakbe yinti tenba da som tangbo la tundin jin sin tope yinti rex jeva so panze chepar tope yinti ngay song so jan zangakbe yinti tang som le tangbo ne Tene zongde tene topar chobaye, sancho sambai hizidani chinye do.
And next, the text describes in detail all of the wonderful qualities that go along with realizing this first ground. And so the first two lines of the root text, which are the third and the fourth of the fifth verse that describe this, say, and having reached this ground, they are called by the name Bodhisattva. So having gained this level of achievement, they actually get the name Bodhisattva. The meaning of this is that when a practitioner reaches the first bhumi, the perfectly joyous, the utterly joyous level, then that's when they become a noble bodhisattva. So that's what is meant by saying they are at that point given the name bodhisattva. They have become a noble being.
Nyebala regi yuen ting tang, pambi yuen ting tang, tokbi yuen ting, tokbi yuen ting, nubi yuen ting, gongdun pribi yuen ting nga le. Tangbo ne, tangbo regi yuen ting ne.
Then comes a description of their how these bodhisattvas are of noble heritage, how they have a good bloodline. And the reason why they have a good bloodline is that they are born into the family of the Tathagatas, the Buddhas. So they become of the family of enlightened Buddhas.
Sa tangbo rabdo gawa la nebe sanjo sembandene so si chewe sa tang nyerang ka sa len deba ti se na de yin che ba zog bu sanje nam je rek su che pa te rek su chobar e sumar sanje je rek su
And the commentary reads that at this point they are born into the family that transcends, that surpasses all ordinary individuals, the Shravakas and the solitary sages. And this is the family of the Tathagatas, the family of the Buddhas.
Nyepa pambi yun dina, dina kundu jorwa sumbu tamje pamba yin shi sabasong.
And then a description of what these bodhisattvas abandon. And what they abandon are the root verse reads, they abandon all three that bind one so tightly. They abandon what are called the three complete entanglements.
Sanyiba nasa tangbo rabdo gawa lene be sanju sambandene da me be tungun sumdu tungwa ti se na kundu jorwa sumbo te kundjur sum she sawa njikso la tawa ta chutrem chun zen tang Turjuk chun zen dang, te sun je, thongbang tam je bangbang yin.
And the commentary reads that, with Rinpoche's explanation, that as a result of the bodhisattva's realization of the emptiness of true existence, then which is so completely extraordinary, then they are able to give up these faults and attain these completely extraordinary qualities. And these are, in terms of the faults, they are, first of all, believing that there is a self. It's called the view of the transitory collection, looking at the collection of the aggregates and thinking that there's some self there. Second is believing in or holding that one's own type of conduct is the best. So being proud of one's conduct. And third is completely cutting through all doubts and uncertainties and anxieties. So they've completely abandoned these three, which are called the complete entanglements.
Jigda ki sawa pungpun jikpa cho da mayi na yang da do tawa tang. Chutrem chunzin ki pa chutrem kone trovar de ba tang. Dami ki tawa me pa chutrem kone to trovar de ba tang. ਤੁਰਯੋਗ ਖੋਨੇ ਟੋਵੰਡਰ ਪਰੇ
So if we were going to look at these a little bit more closely, what the view of the transitory collection is, it's looking at the five aggregates which are not the self and thinking that they are one. Then believing one's conduct is superior means that one thinks that just by virtue of conduct one can attain some level of realization without realizing emptiness. And then doubt is pretty much self-explanatory.
Sumpa tokpa yun de ne sancho sumpa de ne gawa chodo chonchang shin ki sa wosong.
And then an explanation of the qualities that the bodhisattvas attain. It says, these bodhisattvas possess extraordinary happiness.
Deva tokpa yun de che par dom pa pa tope jarve sepo sanjo samba sa tangpo wa tene chung pang ki yun ten tope tumung ma yinpe tumung je gawa tumung ma yinpe gawa cho to cho pan chang shing zinpe na rabda gawa shisa
And again, as a result of the bodhisattva's extraordinary realization, the quality of their realization, the quality of their extraordinary attainment, then they abide or they possess this supreme happiness. And for that reason, the name of this bhumi, of this first ground, is called the bhumi, the ground of complete joy.
Nöbe yöndi, ta yöba nöbe yöndi, jikti kamja, kuni yovar nöbaan, jikti kamja, kuni yovar nöbar jorwaangin.
And then finally, in terms of the description of their qualities, comes a description, a brief description of the qualities of their power, and it's described in the line that says, and they are able to cause 100 world systems to quake. So they are able to move through the power of their mind 100 universes, basically.
Jikten je khan mechik bajja kuen ni yovar nopa la sope yun ten jatha cho ni thopar jovang yinu.
And so the commentary reads, at this point in time, through the power of their miraculous ability, they are able to move 100 different worlds at the same time, and so forth. They gain the 12 powers of the bodhisattva. So this just describes the first of their 12
Great power.
The reason why they are able to move even one world is that they realize that all worlds are just like water moons and like dream appearances, and therefore they are able to move them. If they thought that they were real, then they couldn't move them at all.
Dini chunang la dava sanji maja pa khyar gare, khyar va te dava dutin da madro pa sen na chik yo na kanga yo gare.
And so we can think of the analogy of the way that one reflection of the moon can then again be reflected in an inconceivable number of pools of water. And if one of these water moons moves, then all the rest of them move in the exact same way.
Then Ravotem Papa Sanju Sambada Sanji Yuntin Sanji Machaba Kevare Sanji Machaba Yuntin Namyang Jujin Tendrits over Nang Sanremato Yang Dendrup Kigamare.
And in this way, too, the powers and the abilities of the enlightened beings, the bodhisattvas and the buddhas, are described as being inconceivable in quality and in quantity, and yet they are also completely empty of any true existence. They are just the coming together of causes and conditions.
Naba kongdam phirbi yente ne sanin sanu se je koma rab don rovan jo
that's it you do
cha sun ore te tren de nege
so we'll stop here for tonight
ana so gom to se jam
now we'll meditate a little bit
Kunzop jichu nang. Joma mala loni choda tabar sam. Dandan semje ne lok tuva tan tabar sam te. Tene loje lokar.
Think how it is that everything that appears is just like a dream and water moon, a movie.
Chona loni. Malam. Malam jama choda loni.
Dream, an illusion, water moon, and a movie. Think about how appearances are like that. Think about how the actual nature of reality is completely free of any type of conceptual notion of what it might be, one way or the other. In the tradition of the autonomy school, they refute true existence, and in place of existence, they assert emptiness. And so therefore, the focus of meditation when one meditates on the nature of genuine reality is emptiness that is like space, complete emptiness. However, in the tradition of the consequence school, one refutes true existence but asserts nothing in its place. Does not assert emptiness. It's free of all types of assertions because the nature of reality transcends conceptuality.
Then Jango Lord and Taiji, Shibzanzo, Tiny Tibagorinle, then Jepa Mundo Ranjipa Mega Namkata with Tono Joson.
Then
Jepa, Shirap the Jepa Mundo Gondo. Shirap the chick to Raso, Shirap the Jepa Mundo song day, Mega Namkata with Tono Joson.
From the Treasury of Knowledge by Jamgon Kongtro Lodru Taiye, in the chapter called The Progressive Stages of Meditating in the Vehicle of Characteristics, he writes, first comes the preliminary analysis, and then in the tradition of the autonomy school, one rests in a non-affirming negation that is like space.
Tanjur gomzi chuyin gomzi lo yinmi chola chugya tabu.
In the tradition of the consequence school, the object of meditation, the Dharma Dhatu, and the meditating mind are undifferentiable, like water being poured into water. Lord of Yogis Milarepa saying, I see this life to be like an illusion and a dream, and I have compassion for all those who don't. And so in this way, his statement is in harmony with the third type of compassion that is described by Chandrakirti, compassion that has no focus. When one realizes that this life is without any substantial existence, it's just like a water moon or a dream, it's impossible for either happiness or suffering to move the mind. And the meditation on the nature of reality being the freedom from all conceptual fabrications. Well, these conceptual fabrications are just the thoughts themselves. And so by meditating on the nature of reality being free of all concepts about reality, it's a way of purifying our concepts. All the different ideas we have about reality, one way or the other, are cleansed by this meditation on Dharma Dhatu, which transcends all conceptual notions.
Yeah.